Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Call Talk for Wednesday, November 11th. Our topic today is unlocking the mysteries of email metrics. What are best practice standards? During the call, we invite you to ask questions via email at calltalk@benchmarkportal.com or call in to your host to ask questions and interact with the show. The number to call in is 347-857-3117. Everyone who asks a question, email, or phone on the show will receive a free copy of Bruce's book, Benchmarking at its Best, and one person will be chosen at random to win an in-depth reality check benchmark report value of $1,500. And now I'd like to introduce the host of Call Talk, Bruce Belfiore.
Thanks very much, Sean. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to Call Talk. Our listeners chose today's topic during the last Call Talk, so we will be unlocking the mysteries of email metrics. What are the best practices standards? And just a question, have you ever been in an all-email contact center? You know, compared with a call center, it's like moving from a nursery school classroom to an empty chapel. You know, it's just silence. You hear the click, click, click. It's a little bit eerie, actually, the first time you experience it. And I realize most of the people on the phone probably have a sort of blended centers in which you're doing inbound, outbound, and email. But if you ever go into an all-email contact center, it's really quite an experience. In fact, Sean, I like to call it the silent movies of the contact center world. And think about it. Your screening process is very different also for your agents. You really don't need to have a good voice or even any voice or telephone presence to be a pure email agent. You don't need to worry about some of the things that we talk so much about, which is, you know, smile when you hear the dial, because people can hear your smile when you're talking. Really, in an email center, if you want, you could frown while you pound. So it's a very different kind of communication, very different kind of experience, and that's one thing that I'd just like to point out here right off the bat. There are tons of issues that we deal with when advising centers on email, but in today's half-hour session, we're going to concentrate on putting some parameters around best practices metrics. And if the participants would like an episode of Call Talk devoted to other management or operational issues of email, you know, please let us know. We're very responsive to that, and we will schedule something in the future. Well, my guest today is John Chatterley, and John is a seasoned veteran of the call center industry as both a practitioner and a researcher. John has set up and he's run call centers for MicroAge, and he's also the co-author of the book Offshore Outsourcing Opportunities with our colleague, Dr. John Anton. And he has been co-author and copy editor of really dozens of books, research papers, case studies, and articles over the last decade of his career, and I've had the pleasure of collaborating with him on some of those. He's been also a keen observer and advisor regarding the evolution of e-commerce, including the explosion of email traffic that has happened during the period of time that he's been involved in our industry. So, John, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me, Bruce. I'm very happy to be with you. And I just wanted to comment that you were so right about the differences with voice call center operations, along with the frown when you pound, you can't make haste, to cut while you paste, or make haste while you cut and paste.
Sure. That's true. I mean, it's a different experience. And, yeah, you can't make too much haste while you cut and paste, or you do the wrong thing. And John, I'm sure a lot of people on the phone participated or were participating in this, also participated in the one-minute survey we sent out last week. So can we give them a sneak peek on the report that they'll be receiving shortly?
Certainly. Some of the survey response data that we received confirmed what we had already believed about email practices, but other responses kind of expanded our horizon. Let me give you a couple of examples. First of all, we learned that the average response time for an email is really highly dependent on the type of email that you receive. For example, in technical support call centers or email centers, response times can tend to be longer than if someone's emailing for simply a answer to a question. And of course, one of the things that we noted right off the bat is that there's a different level of expectation on the part of the customer when they use email for contact with the company as contrasted with calling. Their expectations for response time are less. And we received some interesting metrics with respect to what the average response time is for different industries. I can highlight a few of those. The average response time for the consumer products industry is about 27 hours and 14 minutes. The technology is or hardware and technical support industry dropped to about 19 hours. Financial services stretched way out to over 36 hours, and the manufacturing industry, interestingly enough, is the lowest of those that I've just mentioned. So, Bruce, there's certainly some differences between the metrics that we see in the call center world and those that we see in the contact center email world.
Wow, you know, John, you can see why I like to call email centers the quote, leisure world of response times. Really, can you imagine an ASA of 4 hours being best practices? I mean, it's sort of unusual. Well, you know.
Let me just interject, Bruce. I found this kind of humorous but interesting at the same time. Of all of the different industries that we measured in this survey, the government industry had the highest average response time, over 45 hours.
Okay. Well, you know, when budgets are tight and those are the kinds of situations, maybe that's not a terrible thing. But certainly one of the things that at Benchmark Portal we've always been big boosters of is improving the services of government sector call centers. Although there's a lot of emphasis on the private sector, we think the public sector is extremely important, and hopefully they can get better with better techniques and with better processes. So, but that's a very interesting statistic. Thank you for bringing that to the fore, John. Well, let's see. Any other sort of high-level comments that you have from it before we get into some of the questions?
Yes, let me talk about a couple of things that I did with the survey data. One of the things I did was to do a crosstab between the response time and the call box caller satisfaction or email customer satisfaction score. And
okay, tell us.
Well, the average response time for the survey was about 76.46% of the respondents indicated that a response time of between 4 hours was their practice. And or was their average, and the customer satisfaction score for that grouping was over 75%. Going beyond 4 hours, it dropped significantly to 53.89% top box satisfaction, and after 8 hours, dropped down to 45%. 24 hours, 43%. It continued to decline. So there was a linear relationship that seemed to surface between response time and the top box customer satisfaction scores.
Wow, that is really good data. So the best practices of 4 hours, where you have the highest performers, if you will, really does correspond to higher, I was going to say caller satisfaction, but let's just say customer satisfaction for now. And then it goes down steadily after that. Well, that's a good lesson and something that I think the people on the show probably should take heed of. Going from over 75%, and then in the 4 to 8 hour category, and here I'm looking at the results that you tabulated, John, down to about 54%, and then trailing down from there. Well, the bar, I think, is raising, and not unusual. People are getting more demanding. The medium itself, obviously, is not as immediate as telephone, but that doesn't mean that people don't like to have their responses as quickly as possible. And we invite all of you to join the conversation, too. Any comments that you have on this data, we'd love to hear. And those of you who did participate in the survey itself will be receiving the high-level report shortly. Okay, very interesting.
Well,
anything else you wanted to...
Yeah, I was just going to chime in, Bruce. One other cross-tab that I did was to compare the top box scores with the percent of once and done emails. And what I found here is that there's also a fairly high correlation between the top box score, the caller satisfaction score, and the and whether or not their contact was resolved in the initial contact. For example, a top box score of 90 or more resulted when the once and done percentage was over 90%. And it kind of tracked all the way down. It was over 80% for once and done, a once and done rate of 80%. The caller satisfaction score ranged between 80 and 89%. So there again, some very interesting statistics that relate to caller satisfaction with respect to response time and to resolution of the email on the initial contact.
Oh, yeah, and I'm looking at the that particular box right now, and it goes down to less than 50, corresponding to a 37.33. So. Wow, that's a pretty dramatic linear thing as well. So obviously what that tells us is that some metrics that are important for best practices are the response time, and the response time that corresponds to best practices and to high customer satisfaction would be 4 hours or less. Then, of course, each of us has to figure out what the cost is of doing that. In terms of our own context, but that would be best practices. And making sure that the quality of those responses are such that they really do resolve the issue instead of invite more emails. If you have the higher that is, the better it will be. And if you can get a response rate, a one and done, if I can put it that way, of over 80%, you're going to be high up on the quality level as well. Very good, good solid data. Very good. Anything else there, John?
Well, what I can do is highlight what the averages were for some of the key metrics. I'm glad you commented as you did, because I think that based on the survey, we've learned that the top metrics for any contact center offering email as a contact channel is response time and resolution in the first contact, and those both will correlate to the level of customer satisfaction scores that they get on their contact on their email operation. But other metrics that we measured, key performance metrics, metrics that we measure and that are pretty standard for email contact centers is emails per agent per hour. The average for the survey was 7.2. Emails per shift, 40, overall processing time in minutes, which doesn't relate to, which both does and doesn't relate to response time, because the email may not arrive at the agent's desk the moment that it arrives, but once it is at the agent's desk, the average response time in minutes is about 4.75 minutes. The number of emails closed on first contact, the overall industry average was 78%.
Mm-hmm.
And the occupancy rate, that is the amount of time that the agent is in their seat during the shift fielding emails, is about 82.5%.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final metric that I think is interesting is the cost per email. The survey indicated $2.62% was the average for those that participated in the survey, $2.62 per email. The upper quartile, the upper 25% of those that participated, the average cost per email was $1.03. So I think those are some metrics that that your audience will find very interesting.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you very much for those inputs. One thing that kind of surprised me, John, was that there's an awful lot of folks who don't have a formal process to capture customer satisfaction for email interactions. In fact, it's supposed to have, and it's kind of surprising that they don't, since the very medium that they're using for communication, which is emails, can be used for customer satisfaction surveys. And it's so inexpensive to do. So anyway, one of the things that we might encourage with regard to best practices, because it is the best practice to have the pulse on a customer satisfaction, is to think about that. See about getting an email survey as part of your overall process. That's something that we advise people on all the time. Okay, Sean, we've got some questions coming in. Why don't we hand it over to you for a second?
Okay, the first question comes as an email question from Chrissy. Chrissy asks, how do you maintain high quality when trying to enforce a specific SLA? Are quotas a good or bad way to measure email productivity, as it seems counterproductive if the quality drops but the number of emails completed closes?
Mm-hmm. Okay, great one. John, do you want to take a first shot at that?
That's a very good question. It's not an easy to answer question. Obviously, what you want to do is to certainly make sure your agents are properly trained in the outset, so that they're familiar with the operation of keyboard, that they have good grammar skills, and that they understand how to respond in a way that will make the customer happy. I realize that in many contact centers, the agent is under pressure to try to turn out as many emails as they can, but there has to be caution used that they don't do that at the expense of the quality of the response. Some centers are using different auxiliary tools that help the agent in completing their responses. We, in fact, surveyed which methods email centers used in servicing their email messages. Free-form responses constituted over 93% of the responses, but following closely behind that was templates and auto-suggest, which are are tools that contact centers can use that help the agent select the right response and present it to them so that they can edit it and customize it to meet the customer's specific question or to address it on a more personalized basis. I want to comment, Bruce, that I recently surveyed the industry to find out how the industry reacts to auto response systems, because there are some automated response email systems out there that tend to take the agent out of the loop, and there's generally great dissatisfaction on the part of the customers with email responses that are received from an auto response system. Oftentimes, the auto response system picks the wrong keyword, and they get a reply that doesn't even closely relate to the question that they asked. So totally automated response systems are not favored by the customers in the survey that I recently observed. So I don't know if that really answered the question that she had or not, but certainly there has to be a care given to making certain that the quality of the response does not suffer when you're trying to achieve a high email response rate.
Right. If I could just interject here, the old balanced scorecard, I think, that we've always been preaching between quality and quantity really comes into play here as well. And, Chrissy, if I could just add the following. One best practice would be the following, this kind of a procedure. In other words, have a clear quality measure. And that quality measure ideally includes both monitoring measures, so the monitoring by your in-house experts who are looking for proper responses to things, that they're accurate, that they're well done, et cetera, and a customer satisfaction score, okay, which comes back, and which indicates what the customer thought about the customer experience. And if you can take some sort of an average of the two measures, the monitoring score and the customer sat score, and if they pass this on a pay period basis, okay, this is how you could set it up, on a pay period basis, and they hit a threshold of productivity, okay, then they're actually incentivized to do greater quantity on top of that, and they actually get more pay if they do that. This is something you might think about, Chrissy, in the sense that that way you put into their hands the ability to actually make a bit more money. But what you're really doing is upping the productivity of the call center. You go through a mathematical computation that indicates how much the center is actually saving through the increased productivity. You find a way of splitting that between the company and the call center, and you basically empower the agent to make more money, but you insist that they do a good job in terms of their quality metrics. And if you add on to that one other key piece, and it goes back to one of the first things that John mentioned on his answer, which is the training and coaching, okay, and you actually make it one of the objectives of the supervisors of these people to see that their agents are able to make the grade in terms of quality and are able to also make the grade in terms of incentive pay, you've set up an incredibly virtuous circle, a best practices virtuous circle that is going to optimize the amount of quantity while making sure that the quality metrics are met. To do that, you need to have, obviously, the right systems, including the monitoring methodologies and processes, as well as the customer sat information. But when you think about it, you can have that all pay for itself, if you need to set it up, by a system that splits the difference in terms of productivity between the company and the agent. So that might be something you want to consider, and if you want to talk more about that, we'd be happy to do it. Okay, Sean.
The next question, we have two people that asked similar questions, so I'm going to ask them together. Amy asked, How many questions should be on a satisfaction survey? And Philip's question is similar about surveys. What percentage of email users should a customer satisfaction survey be sent to? Each survey, 50% of requests, et cetera?
Okay. John, do you want to take that one?
Well, Bruce, I can give my opinion about it, and then perhaps you can add to it. First of all, as to the number of questions, we generally think of no more than 5 to 7 questions. First of all, overall, how satisfied were they with the contact? Did they get their question answered? Would they recommend this to a friend? Those types of questions are the basic questions that are often asked in and should be asked in customer satisfaction surveys. As to the percentage of contacts, opinions vary on that too. Depends on certainly on the number of contacts that a call center is handling, but from a statistic point of view, over a month's time, if you were to field, say, 375 to 400 customer satisfaction surveys, you are hitting a 95% level of confidence that those responses represent your customer base as a whole. Bruce, what could you add to that?
I agree with you 100%. In other words, 5 to 7 would be the max in terms of number, because you start getting significant fall off after that. And with regard to the survey amount, if we take one that we are allowed to speak about, and that's eBay, they basically would send out to everyone who had not been surveyed in the last 90 days, because you don't want to have survey fatigue set in on somebody, but basically to everyone. The reason being that it's so inexpensive to survey with email that you can get a very good group of people that way. And then it depends, too, on what your response rate is to your email survey. In some cases, we've seen as high as 30%. In other cases, it will be something less than that. But my feeling is the more you can afford, the better. And the price is very low, so I would encourage you to do as many as possible, keeping in mind what John was talking about just now in terms of the statistically valid sample of, 380 to 400 per survey period. Okay, good. Thank you. Good question. Let's see. Sean?
Okay, we have one more question from Melody. The question is, are there any special tools out there that will assist in measuring first contact resolution?
I'll jump in quickly and say I am not aware of any commercial tools that are available. First contact resolution is particularly difficult to determine unless that determination is made immediately after the response. That is to say, if I can turn that around, the best way to get a first contact resolution rate that's fairly close and accurate is to ask at the end of an email response whether the response completely answered the question that the customer had sent in, and you have the highest likelihood of getting a yes, maybe, or no response to that question that could then be used, could be compiled to help you determine your first contact resolution rate. Beyond that, surveys are generally the way that that companies use to determine whether customers were satisfied with the response on the initial call or whether they had to repeat. eBay, which Bruce had mentioned earlier, uses a technique where they track the email addresses of their emails to determine whether an individual customer has come back with a question within a certain period of time. And if they have, they check to see if it's related to the original issue or not, and they use that method to help determine what their first contact resolution rate is.
Okay, great. Sean, do we have time for one more question?
Yeah, we have time for one more. This question comes from David. Compared with telephone, are people more or less likely to use email if they have a complaint?
Okay, if they want to get complained, right, get something off their chest. Great question, David. Well, I can say that I'm looking right now at the results of what is the primary type of email contact at your center, and, you know, looking down the list here, complaint resolution for email centers is 2.6%, okay? And I can tell you that for the telephone sector, it's closer to 6%, so about 5.5%, 6%. So that tells me that people are more likely, if they have a complaint, to want to talk to somebody and get it off their chest. There's something more satisfying, I think, in terms of doing that. So your email center is less likely to get the complaint. Your telephone folks are more likely to get it, which is, of course, one of the challenges of the whole telephone sector in terms of having to put up with those irate customers. So hopefully that will answer that question. Okay, Sean, back to you. I think we're pretty much at the end of our half hour. It's been very interesting. The questions have been really good. Really appreciate your participating, everybody. And we also want you to know that we're going to be launching an e-commerce benchmarking survey in the coming months. So please stay tuned for that. In other words, we're going to make more permanent and rolling a survey and database on these questions that have to do with emails, chat, et cetera. And that's in the works. It's going to take a little while to get out there, but it'll be there pretty soon. So please let us know if you have any questions or comments on that. Well, listen, thanks very much to John Chatterley and to our listeners. And over to Sean. In 2 weeks, we'll have our next call talk, and over to him.
I wanted to thank John Chatterley as well for his great insight in today's show. thanks for all the questions from participants. It was a really great show. Our winner today of the in-depth reality check is Ramon. Ramon, please send an email to calltalk@benchmarkworld.com so we can get you your in-depth reality check. The topic that was voted on by the audience for the next call talk is dashboards. What are best practices? Due to the Thanksgiving holiday, we're going to do the next call talk on December 2nd. Wednesday, December 2nd, you all get a reminder about this topic. Thanks again for spending time with us on Call Talk. Have a great day, and have a happy Thanksgiving as well. Bye-bye.